I have a new iPad. Want to hear it? It's an application. It's called Pocket Pond. It's a crystal clear koi pond that fills the screen of my beautiful sleek iPad. And then when I touch one of the fish on the screen, they swim away. Isn't that great? But is this the best use of a very expensive tablet, this little notebook-like computer that can cost as much as $500? What exactly is the reason for the iPad? Tomorrow, we'll be talking to David Carr at the New York Times, who says that tablets like the iPad will do nothing less than renew the romance of reading, maybe save newspapers. And this week, they will be all the rage again at the annual Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. But meanwhile, all I'm doing is poking at fish in a pond. So let's bring in Andrew Phelps, digital guru for our home station, WBUR. Andrew, you walk around with yours all the time. You have a little message. What's that on the front of your screen right now?
Oh, I just painted a little message that says, "Hi, Robin."
You painted a message. See, here's the problem. There seems to be a leap from getting the darn thing to figuring out how to get into it. For instance, okay, we understand that we're going to do all this reading. Here's my New York Times application. Mm-hmm. I hit New York Times. And what comes up is, well...
All right, well, here's your first problem. You have the iPhone version of New York Times on your screen.
All right.
So you need to get the iPad version, which really takes advantage of the big screen.
Okay, so there's one problem right there.
Yeah, and so that's a big difference. You know, with the iPhone, you might want to just scan the headlines for something quick. The iPad's more like the Sunday morning reading experience. It's tactile. You're flipping through the pages. You're reading it more like a newspaper.
Tell a little more about how the iPad is used for people who haven't seen one. I mean, I know 7 million people have bought them, mm-hmm. but that still leaves 300 million Americans.
That's true.
Who probably never
Plus all the
seen
people
one.
Who probably played with them at the Apple stores.
Well, there's that, but still... The benefit we're understanding is that, and it is true, that you use your fingers and you run it over the screen just like the weather guy on CNN, and you can sort of make images larger and smaller and so read it better.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you can't do on your desktop. But does it really feel for you like a newspaper?
It doesn't feel for me like a newspaper per se, but it feels for me more like a newspaper than anything else I've ever used. I mean, I was a skeptic. Too. I didn't know what category of device this would fall into or how it would fit into my daily life or if it would replace a laptop or my Sunday Times subscription. But I'm using it quite a bit and finding that I think touch is what distinguishes this device. And when we say iPad, you can replace that with the word tablet because there are other people making these
right now.
And
there are going to be something like 80 new tablets introduced.
Right. And Microsoft keeps threatening the iPad killer, but so far not delivering. Anyway, I think touch is what makes this device different from any other computing device because there's something to be said for touching the internet, for touching the material that you're reading, for touching the people that you're talking to. It's just a physically different experience that I didn't understand until I picked one up and played with it.
Well, I just touched USA Today. Now, it's mm-hmm. full screen. It looks just like the paper. I can touch on the different stories here, mm-hmm. and I can read them. And there it is. It's a full 8x10 image of a story. This one is titled, "Obama Hopes Republicans Will Help with Delivering Jobs." So again, just like that guy on CNN, you know, I can take my finger and I can move images around on the screen.
Now, when's the last time you could pick up the Boston Globe and change the point size with your fingers?
But I can spread the Boston Globe all over my couch. I can, you know, on a Sunday have the paper all over the place. This still doesn't feel as warm as that.
It's true. It's just different. It's new. It's not something that we grew up holding. I don't think anyone thinks that this is better than paper. I think it's just different. And the iPad's the closest digital device, in my opinion, that replicates the quality of paper.
Show me something else. Show me something else that you physically do with your iPad.
I've got a flight tracker that shows where any flight in the world is at any given time, something my mom loves every time I travel. It even has like a flight board that replicates the board at an airport that shows when all the flights are coming in. So I can say, Boston to Chicago. And it shows me on a map where it is, if it's on time, what the conditions are like. I can zoom in and out. I can overlay a radar map for the weather. I use Netflix quite a bit on this.
How does that feel? Netflix, again, you can stream TV and TV shows and movies.
That's right.
Does it feel, I mean, everybody has little viewers, you know, kids have their own little viewers to ride in the mm-hmm. cars, but the screen is only 8x10-ish.
I love it. It's a very personal way to watch. I actually I'm a kind of a home theater enthusiast, and I've got a 94-inch projection screen in my living room, you know, the whole deal, HD, and I still find myself watching Arrested Development or Mad Men or whatever on my iPad.
Show me some last few things, just, you know, hands-on, literally.
Sure. Well, You know, earlier I showed you a little painting I made that said, "Hi, Robin." Didn't take very much time. There have been New Yorker covers that you might have heard about drawn on the iPad. You know, using your fingers as paint. I can open that up if you want.
Yeah, but Andrew, you could use paint.
You can.
But make a little sign.
But you buy one iPad and you've got an artist's easel, an HDTV, a newspaper, a book, a game. I mean, you've got it all. And there are apps on this thing that I'm using so often that the device is paying for itself.
And how many of these are free?
Most iPad apps, at least the ones that I use and enjoy, you have to pay for. People tend to complain when they have to pay for an app, but you're talking about an app that's $2, $3, $4, $5 that you're using every single day. A lot of great apps are free, though. The Netflix app is free. Of course, you have to pay a subscription fee. The New York Times app is free, but they're talking about charging for it later this year. All the apps that come with the iPad that you use every day, email, web browsing, that's all free.
It seems that one of the best things about this is that you feel like it's like a magical thing. I mean, I feel like the monkeys in 2001 Space Odyssey, you know, I'm touching the obelisk, you know, that you're hands-on. That does seem to be the biggest difference between this and a desktop and a laptop. What can't this do that a laptop can do?
Well, when you're dealing with a lot of typing, you know, I'm writing a lot of emails to somebody, editing photos, writing code for a website. Sure, you can do that on the iPad, and a lot of people defend the iPad as something that you can create on, but it becomes tiring not to have the keyboard and the mouse.
Although you can put a keyboard on an iPad.
You can, and I do quite a bit. Not a mouse, but a keyboard.
So it's less about the writing, it's more about the interacting and reading.
Yes, what people say is that the iPad is a consuming device, not a creating device. Now, a lot of people disagree with that. I find that to be mostly true.
Andrew Phelps, should we play with our koi ponds again?
Yeah, I'll open mine up. I mean, I'd rather have this than a real koi pond. So much maintenance.
That's a problem. We can talk about that later. Andrew, thank you.
Thank you, Robin. My pleasure.